Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's Shiur begins from the very top of Daf Yud Aleph. Before we learn the Gemara, let's take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the Gemara, that forms the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and that is topic headings that you see on the outside margin. You can see we've noted Nosei, which is a topic, and we've noted Hemshech. This is a continuation of what we started on the Mishnah, from the Mishnah at the very bottom of Yud Amud Beis, dealing with Tzuras Ha'odom Bish'as Kriyashma, Machlukis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the position that a person takes when he is reading the Kriyashma. Beis Shammai says that in the evening, one is to be in a reclining fashion, and in the morning in a standing position. Beis Hillel says that you read as you like, in whatever position. So now our Gemara, coming on the heels of the Mishnah, says Bishlamo Beis Hillel. Things are understandable and fine according to Beis Hillel because Komefarshi Tamayu V'taymo de Beis Shammai. They give a basis for their own reason, namely, read any position you like, as it says in the Pasuk Uvelechtecha Baderech, as you are even walking on the road, no specific position. And they also, B'taymo de Beis Shammai means that they also deal with or explain the source that Beis Shammai had quoted for their position. Beis Hillel explains B'shachvacha uvekumecha as referring to time. Elo Beis Shammai my time alo amri ke Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, why is it that they don't accept the Beis Hillel approach? Amri loch Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai will respond. If it were so that B'shachvah HaLukmecha were dealing simply with hours, Imke Neimokra Baboker Uvoerev, morning and evening. My B'shachvah HaLukmecha, what's the significance of citing times in terms of position, namely reclining and standing? Therefore, B'sh'as Shchiva Shchiva Mamish, Beis Shammai understands that at the time of reclining, namely when a person goes to sleep, he shall be in a reclining position. U'b'sh'as Kimo, in the morning, Kimo Mamish, literally standing. So this explains why Beis Shammai is insistent on their position that B'shachvu Humecha is not an hour's. It's not a source of hours alone, but rather it is also an instruction for what position to take when reciting the Kriya Shema. U'Beis Shammai hai uvelechtecha baderech mai oved luhu. What does Beis Shammai do with the source that Beis Hillel cited for their position? Answer, hahu mibaya luhu lichedesanyo. They need uvelechtecha baderech for a revelation, for a teaching that will be contained in the following Tanaic source. B'shivtecha beveisecha. Prat la'oisek b'mitzvah. One is expected to recite the Kriya Shema, with the exception of a case that he's involved in the performance of another mitzvah that doesn't allow him to say the Kriya Shema. So, from this we have a concept of la'oisek b'mitzvah poter min mitzvah. If one is involved with a particular mitzvah, he is exempt from another mitzvah. So this they learn from b'shivtecha b'veisecha. Uvelechtecha v'aderech, what is the purpose of that? And this is dashed, underlined, because this is the reason that this source is brought, is to show what Beis Shammai learns from Uvelechtecha v'aderech. Prat l'chosan, this is to the exclusion of a groom on his wedding night. He is exempt from Kriya Shema. Mikan amru, ha'kines es apsula poter, ves halmonachai. From here, we derive that one who is marrying a virgin woman, a woman who was never married, so he is exempt from Kriya Shema. If, however, he is taking in a woman who has already been married, she is an almona, she's a widow, then such a marriage does not exempt the groom on his wedding night from saying the Kriya Shema. We have a bracketed section, and you can see the length of the bracketed section by using the bracket length indicator, the vertical dashed dotted line that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Following this section, we have Beis Hillel's response. In other words, the Uvelech Techa Baderech, which originally was Beis Hillel's source for saying the Kriya Shema in any position you like, would it not be argued at this point that it is necessary for another teaching, namely for the exemption of a groom on his wedding night in the event that he is marrying a Besula? So the Gemara says after the brackets, Ubeis Hillel. Notice we've skipped all of these lines, and we're picking up where the squiggle underline Ubeis Hillel appears. The Gemara is basically saying that Beis Hillel agrees that you need the drusha for the exemption of a groom. Nevertheless, Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel Amri Memela Shamas Mina. We learn by the way what I was saying originally as well. The Afilu Baderech Nami Kori. That even on the road, one is to recite the Kriya Shema. In other words, it's true from this expression we learn the exemption of a groom, and this will be part of the discussion in the bracketed section. But since the expression Uvelechtecha Baderech is used to exempt the groom, we also learn, by the way, that when you are walking on the road for your own purposes, as the Gemara will tell us in the bracketed sections, that's when you are to, yes, say the Kriya Shema. It's from an inference that we learn the exemption of the chosan, of the groom. However, the basic phrase itself says that while you are walking on the road for your own purposes, as opposed to mitzvah-related activities, then you are chayav to say the Kriya Shema. So in what situation are you saying the Kriya Shema? Well, as you're walking along, which is, as we said earlier, a reference to any position, not necessarily reclining, not necessarily standing. So Beis Hillel is able to derive from Uvelech Techa Baderech not only the exemption of the chosan, which is derived from the inference implied by that expression, but also from the basic expression he derives, what we'll call the face value expression, he derives that Kriya Shema is recited in any position. Now let's go over this entire piece of Gemara, starting from the brackets, and learn it straight through. Before we learn the bracketed section, we also can glance at the outside margin under our Tatnose, which is a subtopic heading, where we have written Usek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. The topic here is going to be in delving into the issue of one who is involved in the performance of a mitzvah is exempt from other mitzvahs. So now the Gemara. My mashma, how do you see from b'shivtecha b'veisecha the concept of the exemption of oisek b'mitzvah, that one who is involved with another mitzvah will be exempt, let's say in this case, from Kriya Shema. Omar of Papa, ki derech, like the road. Ma derech rishus, just like taking a trip is a matter of option. Af kol rishus, so to anything that's optional. If you're involved in something elective, so then we tell you, look, you have a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema, to the exclusion of something that's not elective, but something that is compulsory, for example, the performance of a mitzvah, then you are exempt from Kriya Shema. The Gemara continues with a give and take structure, and you can see that's indicated by the trapezoid form that will appear in alternating fashions, so that the narrow part is facing upwards. That represents a question, and with the narrow part facing downwards, that will be a response. So the Gemara asks, "Mi lo askinon de ka'ozu l'dvar mitzvah v'afilu hochi omar rachmona likri?" The pasuk says, "Ubelech decha." It says, "Baderech." When you're on the road to what? So is it not so that you're on the road to doing a mitzvah and still you are expected to say the Kriya Shema? So we see from here, to the contrary, that even though you're Oseik B'mitzvah, you have to stop that in order to say Kriya Shema. The Gemara answers, Im Kain, if we are telling you that under all circumstances, including mitzvah circumstances, you're obligated to say the Kriya Shema, then Lichtoiv Rachmono B'sheves U'Baleches, then the verb forms in the Pasuk should have been in a general form, Sheves U'Baleches, my B'Shivtecho U'Balechtecho. Why does the Torah use the possessive form, your sitting, your walking? The answer to that is b'sheves didoch u'baleches didoch hu de mechayves, when it's a matter of your elective, your personal sitting or your personal walking, then the Torah expects you to say Kriya Shema ha de mitzvah. If you're sitting or whatever, you're walking, you're preoccupied with a mitzvah, then patiras, you're exempt. So we can in fact learn oisek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. Question. Ihochi, that preoccupation with a mitzvah is reason for exemption. Afilu kines eso amona nami. Then even for marriage to a widow, there should be exemption. After all, the institution of marriage, entering into marriage, is itself a mitzvah, regardless of what kind of woman. The Gemara answers, why the difference, why the source made a distinction, high torid v'hai lo torid. In marrying a besula, it's her first experience, it's going to be her first experience with intimacy. And as such, the man is preoccupied with what effects that initial act of intimacy will have on her, and he can't concentrate for the recitation of Kriya Shema. Therefore, he's what's called torid. He's preoccupied, and therefore he's exempt. High, but the case of a woman who's already been married, lo torid, he doesn't have that, he's not preoccupied about what pain she might experience during that first act, because for her it's not a first act, she's already been married. Well, the Gemara asks a question, and you'll notice this question lasts several lines. It's as is indicated by the long question marking, the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and the subsequent descending vertical dashed line. The Gemara asks, well, e mishum tirdo, if the main factor is preoccupation, inability to concentrate, and that is reason for exemption of Kriya Shema, filu tovas finoso bayam nami. Even if someone, let's say, is a businessman and he has a boat at sea, and his boat is sinking, would that not also be reason for exemption? V'chitema hochinami. And if you try to insist, yes, that's right. If a person is watching his investment sink, he is exempt on the grounds of tirda, on the grounds of inability to concentrate. Aloma Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavta Omar Rav. So then why does Rabbi Abba teach Ovel Chayav Bechol HaMitzvos HaMuros B'Torah, that a mourner, someone who is recently bereaved, certainly is Torah, is preoccupied with his bereavement, and yet this teaching says he has to say Kriya Shema, he's Chayav in all the mitzvahs. There's an internal brackets, an angular brackets that we'll skip initially to see the answer. Hasam, the Gemara says, the answers that the Ovel and the guy with the sinking ship are actually chayav to read the Kriya Shema. Hasam torid tirda de mitzvah. In the case of marriage to a basula, the reason he is exempt is true, he is preoccupied, but that's not a sufficient reason for exemption. He's preoccupied with a mitzvah. That's called tirda de mitzvah. Hacha, in the case of the sinking ship and the bereavement, torid tirda de rashus. He might be, he might have a tirda, he might have something disconcerting on his mind. However, it's a matter of option. He's not obligated to be in that state of mind. And as a result, we expect him to overcome his natural tendency and to concentrate for the recitation of Kriya Shema. As opposed to someone whose mind is preoccupied on the performance of a mitzvah, there we don't expect him to disconnect from the mitzvah preoccupation in order to do Kriya Shema. there was this angular bracketed section that we skipped. Let's go over it again now, including where Rav Abi Abba has a din that an ovel is obligated in all mitzvahs of the Torah, including Kriyashma. There is one exception, and that's chutz min hatfilin, with the exception of tfilin, whereby we say a mourner is exempt from donning his tfilin, sharei ne'emar bohen pe'er. Regarding the tfilin, tfilin are described by the term pe'er. Pe'er is a glorification. Shinemar pe'ercha chavoshalecha. The Novi Yecheskel, who was in a state of mourning, was instructed that he shall wear his tefillin. And from this we learn, only he, but other Avelim, do not wear their tefillin. And the reason for that is that on the first day of Avelus, he has ash on his head as a sign of mourning. And it's not proper to have the tefillin, which are worn on one's head, to be placed on top of ashes. At this point in the Gemara, following the overall brackets, we had said this was all part of a section whereby Beis Shammai was featuring their position as to what they learned from Ubelechtecha Baderech. So to sum it up, Ubelechtecha Baderech is part of a teaching concerning the exemption in the case of a person being preoccupied with a mitzvah. Then he is exempt from Kriyashma. And as we learned before, let's now do this line again. Ubeis Hillel Amri, we're reading the Gemara after the bracketed section. Ubeis Hillel Amri, they acknowledge, of course, that there is exemption in the case of preoccupation with mitzvah. However, they still can use Ubelechtecha Baderech for their point. They say, Memelo Shamas Mina, we derive anyway from this expression, Da'afilu Baderech Namikori, because the Pasuk is. The pasuk which was used to tell us one is exempt when he is on the road to do a mitzvah. Well, from that you can see when he is on the road for a non-mitzvah, we said, well then he's chayav. But he's on the road, isn't he? And he's saying kriyashma at that point, isn't he? So we see that in any position he can say the kriyashma, as is illustrated by the fact that he's on the road and yet obligated in that state to say the kriyashma, indicating any position is acceptable. And that is, as we said before, that's Beis Hillel's point of view. Tanu Rabbanan, we now have a Tanaic source that continues in this topic. Beis Hillel Omrim, Omdin V'Korin, Yosh V'Korin, Umatin V'Korin, Hochin Baderech V'Korin. All positions that a person may assume are suitable for the recitation of Kriyashma, whether it be standing, sitting, reclining, or walking. And furthermore, Oiskin B'Melachton V'Korin. That's a fifth example. He can be involved with his labor, and in the midst of while he's doing his work, he can say the Kriya V'Korin and say Kriya Shema Maisib Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah. An incident transpired at one time, Shehoyu Mesubin B'Mokom Echad, where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elozer were sitting together, and it was in the evening. And they were together in the evening, V'Hoya Rabbi Shmuel Muta Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah Zokuf. Rabbi Shmuel was reclining, and Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah was standing. Kevon Shigia Zman Kriyashma, when the time to recite the Kriyashma of the evening arrived, what happened? Hita Rabbi Elozer. Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, who originally was standing, now reclined to assume the same position that Rabbi Shmuel had been in anyway, but Vizokaf Rabbi Shmuel. And at that moment, Rabbi Shmuel stood up. Now, Rabbi Omar Lo, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, Rabbi Shmuel. This takes a few lines to develop, hence we used a long marking for the next few lines. This is Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah's speech. He says to Rabbi Shmuel, Yishmuel Achi, Brother Yishmuel, Emshoch Moshe L'mad Dover Doimeh. Our behavior right now, I'm going to give you a moshel to convey how I view this situation. Just to review what happened over here, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, and it was evening time, and he reclined to resemble Rabbi Shmuel's position. Upon seeing that, Rabbi Shmuel then stood up to be unlike Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, if you will. So Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah is taken aback, and he says, you know, this is a little strange. I'll give you now an analogy to explain the way I see things here. Moshal le'echad she'omrim lo, zikoncha megudal. someone who was praised as having a nicely grown beard. Upon hearing the compliment, Omar Lohem, the bearded individual, says, "Yeah, keneged hamashchisen." Well, I want it shaved off. Afkan ata, so too with you. Calls man shani zokuf atamuta. I was standing, you were reclining. Achshav kishani hitesi ata zakafta. I reclined to be like you. You, all of a sudden, shunned that, so to speak, by standing up. Omar loy, so Rabbi Shmuel explains. Ani osisi kedivrei beis Hillel. By my standing up in the evening, I was practicing the way of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said that you're not restricted in the evening to be reclining. The atah, but you, who had originally been standing, now assumed a reclining position. Osiso kedivrei beis Shammai. You are following the way of Beis Shammai, and maybe we should have said earlier that generally speaking, when you have a machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, the halacha will not go like Beis Shammai. So by your reclining in the evening, you were assuming a position that's dictated by Beis Shammai. V'loy oid, and furthermore, elo shemo yiru hatalmidim v'yikbu halacha ledoros. I'm fearful that maybe students were watching us, and they will establish the halacha for generations. In other words, if I wouldn't have stood up, they would have saw me originally reclining, and then you assuming a reclining position for the Kriyashma of Arvis, and they would think that this is the way to do things, and establish the halacha, like Beis Shammai, who says that in the evening one should be reclining. My v'loy oid. Why is it necessary to have this second point? In other words, wouldn't it have been sufficient for Rabbi Shmuel to say, by my standing up, so I was practicing the way of Beis Hillel, and you did like Beis Shammai? Now, we said before that information itself would convey the idea that you should follow my way, follow the way of Beis Hillel. What was important of adding, for the source to add this second point of maybe the students will see? The chi tema, if I would have had just the first point, Beis Hillel nami is lehu matin, that by my standing up and your reclining, that doesn't show necessarily a behavior of Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel also holds that you can recline in the evening. After all, they said every way they learned from Lech Lecha Baderech. By the way, we should note that we're about to learn, we're in the middle of learning a long answer, as is illustrated by the encircled tuf and the descending vertical dashed line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So we're answering why was it necessary to add that second point at the end of the source. So one might have said that, well, Beis Hillel also holds matin, that you can recline. So Rabbi Shmuel explained to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hani mili demota vasa mikora, the idea of in the evening reciting in a reclining position, and that would befit Beis Hillel as well. That's true if you had originally been reclining and continued reclining. Avol hocha kevon de'ad hashto havis zokuf. But in your case, you, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, up till now you had been standing. V'hashta muta, now you made a deliberate move to recline. Amri, the Talmidim, will conclude from your behavior, Shema mino kebe shamai svira lehu, that if I wouldn't have stood up, I was already reclining, and then you assumed the reclining position. It must be that the halacha is to go like Beis Shammai. And that, namely, that in the evening one is to be reclining for the recitation of Kriyat Shema. So to that's the reason I stood up. Shema yiru hatamidim v'yikbu halacha l'doros. If not for my standing up, they would have seen our behavior and would have concluded that the halacha is to be like Beis Shammai for all generations. Therefore, it was imperative for me to stand up. The mivneh, the structural note that we see on the outside margin, is a triangle, and we explain deos b'inyan mi she'osa kedivrei beis Shammai. Different opinions will be reflecting more as to what happens to someone who follows the way of Beis Shammai. Toni Rav Yecheskel, osa kedivrei beis Shammai, osa kedivrei beis Hillel, osa. the Rav Yechezkel teaches that if you can do any way you like. If you do like Beis Shammai, it's fine. If you go like Beis Hillel, it's fine. Rav Yosef Omar also kedivrei Beis Shammai lo also velo klum. Practicing like Beis Shammai is tantamount to have done nothing. In other words, if someone does like Beis Shammai, so then he wouldn't have fulfilled his Kriya Shema requirement. In other words, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't done any mitzvah. Disnan. This idea of following we'll call it a rejected opinion as having done nothing is reflected in the following source. Disnan. Mi shohoya roishoy v'ruba basuka v'shulchano basoch habayis. Someone whose head and most of his body was located in a sukkah. And we're talking about the holiday of Sukkot. V'shulchano and his table is in a house. A house being a place unfit to eat when it's the holiday of Sukkot. So you have the person, his head and his torso in the sukkah, and the table from which he's eating is in the house. Beis Shammai, poislin u'beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Shammai says this is unacceptable, and Beis Hillel says it's okay. We'll of course assume that the person, as he eats, brings the food to his mouth, and he right now is in the sukkah. Omru lohem Beis Hillel l'Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel argues to Beis Shammai and says, "Maise shalchu b'ziknei Beis Shammai b'ziknei Beis Hillel levakir es Rabbi Yochanan ben Hacharanis." The elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan. Matzuhu shoya rosho ruba basukah v'shulchanu b'sochabayis. They saw him in this very position. He was seated in the sukkah, but the table was in the house. Below amru lo klum. Nothing was said, indicating that it's okay, like Beis Hillel. Amru lohem, Beis Shammai said back, Misham raya, from that story you are trying to bring proof that that's an okay situation. Abhem amru lo, they did tell him, Im kain, hoyiso noheg, if thusly you have practiced your sukkah observance, lo kiyamto mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you have never fulfilled mitzvah sukkah. Now, this last phrase is, in a sense, in effect, Beis Shammai arguing against Beis Hillel. And we've dashed underlined the expression, Im kein lo yusenoi, lo kiyamto mitzvah sukkah miyomecha. And we're paralleling that with what Rav Yosef said, which in effect was Beis Hillel's, from Beis Hillel's position to Beis Shammai, that if you go like Beis Shammai with regard to Kriya Shema, lo osa velo klum. So Rashi explains, lo kiyamto, Rashi toward the lower part of the narrow lines, he says, v'chi heichi da'osa kedivrei Beis Hillel lo'osa v'lo klum l'divrei Beis Shammai. Just like in the case of Sukkah, that in the eyes of Beis Shammai, someone who practices like Beis Hillel has done nothing, has not accomplished any mitzvah, af ha'osa kedivrei Beis Shammai lo'osa v'lo klum l'divrei Beis Hillel. So too, someone who follows the ways of Beis Shammai in the eyes of Beis Hillel has not accomplished anything. Rav Nachman Yitzchok, notice another triangle. He says, also kedivrei Beis Shammai, with regard to the Kriya Shema issue, if someone practices like Beis Shammai, chayav misa, he is guilty of a death penalty. Disnan, and when we say guilty of death penalty, we don't mean at the hands of court, but he is deserving of death. Disnan, we see in our Mishnah, Omar Rabbi Tarfon, ani hoisi baba derech, I was once walking on the road, and it was evening, v'hitesi likros kedivrei Beis Shammai. Since it was evening, I reclined to recite the Kriya Shema in accordance with Beis Shammai, v'sikanti v'atzmi, and I found myself in danger, v'pnei halista, because of bandits. Amru lo, the listeners of Rabbi Tarfon's story told him back, kedai hoyisa l'chuv v'atzmecha, you actually endangered yourself, shavarta al divrei Beis Hillel, by violating the teaching of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel would have said, in your case, you were walking on the road, just continue walking and say the Kriya Shema in that fashion. So we see that one who doesn't follow Beis Hillel and opts to follow Beis Shammai, he found himself in a life-threatening situation. And that's what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok meant when he says that one who goes like Beis Shammai is Chayav Misa. The Mishnah. Mishnah deals with the issue of Birkos Kriyashma. B'shachar Mevorech Shtayim Lefoneo V'achas L'achareo. In the morning, there are two brachos before, there's Yotzer HaMaoros and the Avo Rabo, and one bracha afterwards, which ends off with Goal Yisrael. Uba Erev, in the evening, Mevorech Shtayim Lefoneo U'Shtayim L'achareo. In the evening Kriyashma, we have two brachas that precede the Kriyashma and two brachas that follow the Kriyashma. The Mishnah goes on with a phrase that will be the subject of discussion between the Rashi and Tosfos. The Mishnah says, Achas Aruko, the Achas Kitzora. Rashi's explanation, because in this section of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, we're dealing with the Gemara, as is explained by Rashi. So he says on this phrase that Achas Aruka v'Achas Ketzora is going on the case of Shtayim L'Achareo of Arvis. In other words, the last thing that the Mishnah mentioned before this phrase was that in the evening there are two brachas before and two brachas after the basic Kriyashma. Regarding those two brachas after the Kriyashma, one is long, Achas Aruka, the Achas Ketzora. One is longer and one is shorter. And if you open up a siddur, so you will see that the bracha beginning with Emes Ve'emuna is a longer text, and the Hashkivenu is a shorter text. Mokoyin She'omru L'harif Eino Rashoy L'katzer. This phrase also is something that we'll explain as referring to a situation that you are supposed to have it long, so you cannot shorten. Lekatzer eino rashoi laharich. When you're supposed to have a short version, a short text, then you are not allowed to make it long. So to apply this point, practically speaking, following, of course, Rashi's approach, that the Achas Aruka V'Achas Ketzora phrase had referred to the two brachas after Kriyashma, so this section of the Mishnah is telling us that where they said it should be long, laharich, namely the bracha of Emes Ve'emuna, Eino Rashoi Lekatzer, you can't shorten it, and Lekatzer, the birch bracha of Hashkivenu, which is designed to be a short text, Eino Rashoi Laharich, you cannot elongate it. That is as far as Rashi's pshat is concerned. The Mishnah continues, Lachtom, where there is a text of a bracha that has a closing bracha. In other words, there's an opening bracha and a closing bracha. So, Eino Rashoi Shelo Lachtom. You can't avoid it and finish off the passage without the closing bracha. Shelo Lachtom, those situations where you don't have a closing bracha. For example, a bracha we make on food. If you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Ha'Eitz, that's it. There's no closing bracha. So that's a case of Shelo Lachtom. Eino Rashoi Lachtom. You can't add a text of a bracha to something like that. The Gemara, my Mevorech. What is the nusach or the text of the two brachas of the Kriyashma Shel Shachris that precede the Kriyashma? Omer of Yankiv, Omer of Oshia. We continue now on Yud Aleph Amud Beis at the top. Yotzer Or Uvore Choshech. That's the first bracha that we recite before the Kriyashma in the morning. You notice we have a bracketed section. If you skip the bracketed section momentarily, so we'll be able to maintain the flow of the Gemara. And we had mentioned there are two brachas. So one was Yotzer Over Choshech. After the brackets, the Gemara asks, V'idoch Mahi, what's the second bracha that precedes the Kriyashma in the morning? So Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Avo Rabo. So with our markings, you're able to see and maintain a very clear flow of the Gemara. the Roman numerals here are designed to highlight the two brachas that were alluded to. Now we have to address the Gemara in the bracketed section. Here the Gemara is asking, why do we use that text, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech? Lema, could you not have said Yotzer Or Uvorei Noga, the one who created Or, the light, and created Noga? Noga is actually an expression that means light. Now, since you're dealing with the morning Kriyashma, so wouldn't that be an appropriate text? So the Gemara answers, Kirichtiv Kwarminan, we say, based on the text you find in the Pasuk. Namely, we say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech is a Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Zayin. The Gemara asks, Elo Me'ata, if you're so limited to the text of the Psukim, Oise Shalom Uvorei Es Hakol Mi Kwarminan Kirichtiv, in that case, do we really say the Pasuk as it appears? In other words, in the Pasuk it says, Oise Shalom Uvorei Ra. It doesn't say Oise Shalom Uvorei Es Hakol. And yet in our text of the Bracha we say, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech Oise Shalom Uvorei Es Hakol. So we see we're not limited to the text. Elo Ksiv Ra. It says Ra in the Pasuk, V'karinan Hakul. And yet we in our prayer text, we say Hakul, Lishnom Alyo, because we're seeking out a positive speech. In other words, something that's we'll call it optimistic or positive sounding speech, as opposed to telling it like it is. Namely, in the Pasuk, you see the word Ra, but we want to avoid using the word Ra, which means negative or bad. So we use the word Hakul. That's called Lishnomalia, positive speech, euphemism, if you will. Well, Hochanami, so too with regard to the beginning of that text, Lema Noga, instead of saying Choshech, say Noga. Noga, which means a glow or light, but as a euphemism, Lishnomalia. So just like in the continuation of the text, we veer off the actual scriptural text, changing from Ra to the word Es HaKol, so too in the opening part of the Brocha text, why not use Noga as a replacement for Choshech, which Noga is more of a euphemism for, instead of Choshech meaning darkness, something that has a negative sound to it. So the question then is, why do we say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech? Why do we use that as the formula? Elo Omar Rova Kidei Lahazkir Midas Yoim Balaila Umidas Laila Bayom. In our Kriyashma Brochus, we are interested in mentioning the characteristic of day at night. And we've dashed underlined Midas Laila, the nature or the characteristic of night, Bayom. The reason we dashed underlined is because we're focusing right now in our discussion of the morning brachas. So that in the morning brachas, we want to make mention of night. Hence, we say in the morning bracha, we say we bless the Almighty who created light and created darkness. Bishlama Midas Laila Bayom. I understand this need to mention the nature of night in the morning, that which was the Midas Laila Bayom was the second point that Rava just mentioned, the base point that we have a basis for, Ke de Amrinan Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, as we in fact fulfill this in the morning. We do this, we accomplish this, because we say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech in the morning. Elo Midas Yoim Balailo Hechi Mishkachas Lo, where in our text of the davening, in our prayer text, where do you see the mentioning of day at night, in the night text? Where is that? Omar Abaye, in fact, we do that as well, because in the evening, what do we say? We say, Goylel Or Mipnei Choshech, V'choshech Mipnei Or, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has created a world whereby he rolls one in and the other out. He rolls in the light in the face of the darkness, and the darkness in the face of the light. So we see In fact, we accomplish this idea of mentioning the two time periods in each other time period, respectively. The idoch mahi, what is the second brocha of Kriyat Shema in the morning? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Ahavo Ravo. Now we've used this house shape to highlight the expression Ahavo Ravo, and on the outside margin, no say mivne, we see the house featured. Shnei Deos, we will see two opinions. B'mahi nuschas brocha shnia shel Kriyat Shema deshachris. What is the proper text for the morning second brocha, the second pre-Kriyat Shema brocha in the morning? So this is number one. A few lines later, you can see a second house with a number two to the immediate right-hand side of the morning text, a second opinion. So the first opinion for the text of the second brocha is to begin with Ahavo Rabo. V'chein orile Rabbi Lozer l'Rebbe Pedos Brei. And thusly, Rabbi Lozer instructed his son, Rabbi Pedos, Ahavo Rabo, Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that conveys this point. It says, Ein Omrim Avas Oilom, Elo Ahavo Rabo. One should not say Avas Olam in the morning, but rather Ahavo Rabo. V'rabonon Amri. The Rabbonon, who disagree with what the other scholars say, Avas Olam, that in the morning you should say Avas Olam. V'chein hu Omer V'ahavta, the Avas Olam Ahavtich Al Kein Moshachtich Chesed. So as far as the Gemara is concerned, we see two possibilities of what the text of the morning second pre-Kriyat Shema Baruch ought to be. You notice we have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, so our topic is going to be Birchas HaTorah. That's the bracha that one is expected to recite every morning in anticipation of Torah study. A double underline will be used as the Gemara continues. These are deos, al ezid dvorim chayovim levorech. When we speak about making a bracha over Torah learning, what kind of Torah learning is the bracha expected to be recited? The Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Hishkim Lishnas, a person got up early in the morning to learn. Ad Shalokora Kriyishma Tzorach Levorach. If he got up early before the time of saying the Kriyishma, so he has to make a bracha on Torah learning. Mishakora Kriyishma. If, however, he's recited the Kriyat Shema and did not make a bracha over Torah learning beforehand, Ein Sorach Levarach, he doesn't have to make the special Torah learning bracha Shekvar Niftar Be'Ava Rabo, because he has exempted himself with the second bracha that precedes the Kriyat Shema in the morning, that we refer to as the bracha of Ava Rabo. The text of Ava Rabo has a text that's similar, or let's say reminiscent of the text of the formal Birchas HaTorah. Rashi explains on the upper part of the narrow lines, Shekvar Nifta Ba'Avo Rabo, Shiesh Bo Me'ein Birchas HaTorah. There is the essence of Birchas HaTorah contained within the passage of Avo Rabo. In there it says, V'sein B'libeinu Lumeiru L'Lamei L'Shmor V'Lasus L'Kayim is called V'Rei Talmud Torah Secha V'Atlamdeim Chukei Ritzonecha. That the prayer is saying, please give us place upon, in our hearts the desire for learning and teaching and the fulfillment of all of the words of Torah. So, being that that's the text of the Ava Rabba, that's very similar to the essence of the text of the formal Birchas HaTorah. Therefore, if you didn't make the formal Birchas HaTorah, but you have recited the davening, including the Birchas Kriyat Shema, that is enough, according to what the Gemara is saying at this point. There is a lot more on this topic, but we're sticking right now to the Gemara text. Omar Rav Huna, as we mentioned earlier, you'll see a series of opinions as to what type of Torah learning requires the Birchas HaTorah to be recited. L'mikra tzorach levarech, u'l'midrash eino tzorach levarech. For mikra, that means for the study of psukim, one has to make Birchas HaTorah. According to what the Ritva. The reason for this is that Psukim represent the Iker, the root, the mainstay of the Torah. So for the, if you're studying the Iker, the root of the Torah, the verses themselves, so you have to make a bracha. However, Medrash, which is a commentary on the bracha, on the verses, so regarding Medrash, which is not, it's a oral traditions that explain the psukim. So for that, you do not have to make a bracha. Verbal Ozer Amar leMikra ule Medrash tzorach levarach. For both Mikra and Medrash, you do have to make Birchas HaTorah. LeMishnah ein tzorach levarach. However, for Mishnah, you don't. And it might be that the difference between Medrash and Mishnah, even though both are part of oral law of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Medrash focuses on the psukim themselves. Medrash uses the psukim as a jumping off point, so that when you're studying Medrash, you are in effect studying the psukim as well. Whereas the Mishnah is not something that's tied directly into the psukim themselves, and hence no need for a bracha according Birchas HaTorah before the study of Mishnah according to Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af the Mishnah Nami Tzorach Levarech, Avo LeTalmud Ein Tzorach Levarech. Rabbi Yochanan says that for Mishnah as well, you have to make a bracha, but for Gemara, for Talmud, which we call Gemara, you do not have to make a bracha. And the Rashi adds, this halacha is such that even before you may have said Ava Rabba, let's say you woke up very early, you can go right ahead and learn Talmud, learn Gemara, without making Birchas HaTorah. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. For Rava Omar, Af LeTalmud Tzorach Levarech. For Talmud as well, you have to make a bracha. Rashi says, "Af leGemara tzorach levarach shehu ikur haTorah." The Talmud is the main part of the Torah. Shemimenu hora yotze. From the study of Talmud, we arrive at legal rulings. Rashi continues, "Gemara hainu svaras tame mishnah." The Gemara reveals the logic behind the Mishnayos, the Tirutzei Mishnayos, Sosra Zuazu, the resolution of seemingly contradictory Mishnayos, that's what the Gemara takes care of, and the Chisrei Mechsera. The Gemara also fills in, so to speak, words that are needed for understanding the Mishnayos that were left in a deliberate, abbreviated fashion. When the Gemara does expand on the Mishnah, filling in those explanatory words, the Gemara introduces that as Chisurei Mechasra, that the Mishnah was left deliberately brief so as to preserve the oral tradition aspect of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Gemara, though, itself elaborates and fills in what was left abbreviated with regard to the Mishnah. So, turning back to the Gemara, the Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Ashi Zimin Segin Have Koimno Kamei Derav Lisnuy Pirkin Besifro De Beirav. Many times I got up in the presence of Rav to teach over Sifro De Beirav, which is often explained as the as Midrashim. Have Matim VeKomoshi Yodei. He would get up early, wash his hands, uborach, he would recite the Birchas HaTorah, umasni lon pirkin, and teach us give us his lecture of Torah. So from the context of this Gemara, the reference to Sifra de Beirav is in effect what the Gemara calls Talmud. So from here you see that for Talmud, Rav would make a Birchas HaTorah. Now the Gemara gets involved with the, as we see in our Nuschas HaBracha, under our Nosei, our topic heading, Nuschas Birchas HaTorah. What is the text of the Birchas HaTorah? My mevarech. So, what does one bless? What is the text? Amar Yudamar Shmuel. One says after the standard opening, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. It's the Rabbi Akiva Eger notes that there are Rishonim that have another Girsa, and that is Al Divrei Torah. Instead of Lasot Divrei Torah, they say Al Divrei Torah. And this Machlokis, or alternative Girsa, actually is manifest itself in different Nuschos of Sidurim that different traditions that Jews have. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bohachi. Rabbi Yochanan adds to the bracha of Asher Kitchanu B'Sosin L'Asod B'Divrei Torah. He adds Ha'arev No. This text. Now this text will last a number of lines. You can see the closed quotation marks is around five lines later, right before the underlined Rav Hamnuna's name. And this text will be familiar to many of you. Ha'arev No. Hashem Elokeinu Es Divrei Sorascha B'Finu Ufifios Amcha Beis Yisrael. Ha'arev means make it pleasant. Make the words of Torah present in our mouths and the mouths of all of Israel. V'niyah Anachnu V'tzetzainu V'tzetzei Amcha Beis Yisrael. It should be your will that we and all of our descendants, Kulonu Yoidei Shemecha V'oiske Sorasecha, Baruch Ato Hashem Hamalamid Torah Le'amo Yisrael. Here we're praying that we should all be preoccupied with the study of Torah. And it closes with this Hamalamid Torah Le'amo Yisrael bracha. Rav Hamnuna Omar, Rav Hamnuna says that what is Birchas HaTorah? It's maybe familiar to many of you that when one gets called up to the Torah, he recites this. And this is his text of Birchas HaTorah. Asher Bochar Bonu, which would begin, of course, with the unmentioned Baruch Ato Hashem Lekeinu Melech Olam. Asher Bochar Bonu Mikolo Amin V'Nosan Lonu Estor Aso. We bless the Almighty who has chosen us from amongst all the nations and given us His Torah. Baruch Ato Hashem Nosein HaTorah. V'ha Rav Hamnuna Me'ula Shebebrachas. The text that Rav Hamnuna suggests is the choicest of the brachas. Rashi explains this, that it's the choicest, because it has in it a praise of the Almighty and a praise of the Torah and of Klal Yisrael. So it has all of these features contained within this bracha, therefore it's considered a choice text. The Gemara, though, says, Hilchoch Limrinu Likulu. We will say, therefore, all of them, starting with the La'asok B'Divrei Torah, continuing with V'Harevno Hashem Elokeinu, closing with Asher Bochabonu Mikolo Amin. Tanan Hosom. We have a Tanaic source from Maseches Tomid. The topic heading that we have on the outside margin under the Noseh heading, Lefaresh HaMishneh B'Tomid, we're here to explain the Mishnah Maseches Tomid, Dekotoni Borchu Brocha Achas. Mahi Oisa Brocha. In Maseches Tomid, which is found at the end of Seder Kochim, the Masechet is dedicated to teaching the laws of the offering of the morning daily sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. And included in that are all kinds of practices that surrounded that activity. The Memuna is the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, Omar Lahem HaMemuna. The Sgan HaKohanim, the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, instructed the Kohanim after they started the slaughtering of the Tomid Shel Shachar, and they set up the limbs on the ramp of the leading up to the Mizbeach. They then descended from having set up the limbs on the ramp of the Mizbeach. They then descended the ramp and entered the what's called the Lishkas HaGozis to say the Kriya Shema. So the Memune says, instructs them, Borchu Brocha Achas. Recite a brocha, singular brocha, Vehem Borchu, and they did so. Vekoru Aser Satibros, they would also say the Ten Commandments. Shema Voyoim Shema Vayomer, and the three paragraphs that make up the Kriya Shema. Uborchu Es Ha'om, Rashi explains, that's Uborchu Es Ha'om Im Ha'om. They davened, so to speak, they said brochas together with the people. Borchu Es Ha'om, Shalosh Brochos. the following three brachos. And of course, we're dealing with the practice of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, in the early morning hours. So they would bless Esau, means together with the people, three brachos, Emes V'Yatziv, the Avodah. Emes V'Yatziv is familiar to most of you as the first bracha that follows the Kriya Shema of the morning. So they said that bracha. Avodah is, they would say what's in the Shmona Esrei, the bracha of Ritzei, which is a bracha regarding the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, that the Avodah should be something that the Almighty should accept. Ubirkas Kehanim, they would recite the Psukim that are associated with the Kohen bracha. Ubishabbos Moisifin bracha achas leMishmor HaYotzei, and on Shabbos they added an additional bracha to the service group that was leaving the Beis HaMikdash. It was a changing of the guard, so to speak, of the Kohen, the groups of Kohanim that served from week to week would change over on Shabbos. So there was on Shabbos an added bracha to the group of that the newly arrived Kohanim would say in honor of those that are leaving. My bracha achas. In this source, in the beginning of the source, it said that the Sgan HaKohanim told them, the one in charge told them to say one bracha. What is that one bracha? Ki ha de Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yosi bar Abba, iklu lahu asra. A story involving Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yosi that went to a particular place, ba'u minayu, my bracha achas. They were asked this very question, what is bracha achas? Lo hava biyadayo, and they didn't have an answer. Literally, they didn't have it in their hands. They didn't have an answer. V'yosu shailuhu l'rav matona. Lo hava biyaday. They asked Rav Matona. He didn't have an answer. Osu shailuhu l'rav Yehuda. They asked then Rav Yehuda. Omar lahu, hochi amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, in explaining the Mishnah in Maseches Tomid, that one bracha is avo ravo. V'omar Rabbi Zrika, omar of Ami, omar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, yoitzer or. Rabbi Zrika, in quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, known as Reish Lakish, he says the one bracha was Yotzer Or. So we have a machlokas as to how to explain the bracha achas found in the Mishnah in Tomid. Ki also Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Omar, when Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came, he tells us that Hod Rabbi Zrika, that which Rabbi Zrika taught, namely Yotzer Or, Lav Beferush Itmar, he did not hear that ruling explicitly from Reish Lakish, that the Yotzer Or is the one bracha. Elo Michlolo Itmar, it was a point that was derived from something else that was said. So we now go into this, but we should note that we've started a long point. The Nun, you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a descending vertical dash line, will continue down the first four lines of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Zrika, who quoted Reish Lakish, is saying that the Brocha Achas was Yotzer Or, as opposed to Avo Rabo, was not something that Rabbi Zrika heard in an explicit way from Reish Lakish, but rather based on something else Reish Lakish said, you can come to the conclusion that Reish Lakish would hold that the Brocha Achas that was said in the Beis HaMikdash was the Yotzer Or Brocha. Before we go too much further, a word should be said about this expression, Lav Beferush Itmar Elo Michlol Itmar. In general, when something is presented that way, it's telling you that it's a weak, there's something weak, there's a weakness to it, and therefore, it's referred to as something that's derived as opposed to something that was said explicitly. Put that, in the meantime, in the back of your mind as we go on in the Gemara. So now, what we want to find out is what did Reish Lakish say from which one might derive that the Brocha Achas would be Yotzer Or? So here is something that Reish Lakish did, in fact, say outright. Zois Oimeres. From the fact that it says in Maseches Tomid, it says that they made one bracha. From this, one can derive brachos ein ma'akvos zu es zu. We are used to saying two brachas before the morning kriyashma. they said one bracha, indicating that one bracha is not binding upon the other bracha. Namely, if you said one bracha, you have fulfilled the requirement of saying that particular bracha. And the fact that you're not saying the other bracha, so it's not binding upon the one that you did say it. That having been said, that Reish Lakish concluded from the Mishnah in Tomid that said that they said one bracha, one concludes ein brachos machvazu azu. From that, we're going to derive that the one bracha was yotzer or. Well, how do we do that? E amris bishlamo yotzer or havu amri. If you say that the bracha that they in fact said in the Beis Hamikdash in those early hours of the morning was the bracha of yotzer or, hainu, then I am able to conclude the bracha is ein ma'akva zu azu. Delo ko amri ahava rabba. They simply did not say ahava rabba, and yet they said yotzer. It seems that the lack of reciting ahava rabba doesn't diminish the recitation of yotzer, and they fulfill their yotzer or recitation requirement. Elo I amris ahava rabba havu amri. If you would say that the Mishnah in Tumid, which says they said one bracha, and that one bracha was Ava Rabba, my brachos ein makva zuazu, how can you conclude that the recitation of one bracha is not binding upon the other, or not dependent on the other? If the one bracha that they said was Ava Rabba, Dilma Haidulo Amri Yotzer Or, maybe the reason they didn't say Yotzer Or in the Beis Hamikdash in those early hours, Mishum Delomotas Man Yotzer Or, because the time for reciting Yotzer, which is a bracha praising the creation of light, it's so early in the early hours of the morning that it's not yet appropriate to say the time for saying it hasn't arrived. The Chimotas Man Yotzer Or Havu Amri, when the time would come later in the morning, they would then in fact say, they would be obligated to say Yotzer Or, and from this we would say that in fact brachos arma akvo zuazu. In other words, if you're at a time period when both could be recited and you say one and not the other, so you don't get any credit, you're not in fulfillment of your bracha recitation requirement by saying just one when you could have said both. So, at this point, we know that Reish Lakish said that from the Mishnah and Talmud we are able to conclude brachos ein ma'akvo zu azu. So, what was the one bracha that they must have said? It must have been yotzer or. In other words, it was late enough in the day to say it, and they said that, and they didn't say avo rabo, and that was enough. The Gemara asks, well, that sounds like a very solid proof that the one bracha that they said was, in fact, Yotzer Or. V'i michlola mahai. We mentioned before that the term michlola meant there is a weakness. This question is, what is the weakness in saying that the one bracha, according to Reish Lakish, that must have been said was, in fact, Yotzer Or? Being that Reish Lakish said we are able to prove from the Mishnah and Talmud that Ein Brachos Ma'akvo Zuazu, it must have been that they said Yotzer Or, and therefore we can, the statement of Ein Brachos Ma'akvo Zuazu that Reish Lakish said in an explicit fashion, from that it's clear to conclude that his opinion of Brocha Achas was in fact Yotzer Or, because if it was Ava Rabba, he wouldn't have been able to say Ein Brochos Makvo Zuazu. If it was Ava Rabba, it could be that their lack of reciting the other one, the Yotzer Or, is because time simply hasn't arrived. The Gemara answers, you want to know what the weakness is? The E Michlola. If he didn't say Beferush, if Reish Lakish didn't say Beferush in an explicit fashion that the one bracha was in fact Yotzer Or, I could tell you the Oilum Ava Rabo Havu Amri. that the one bracha the Kehanim said in the Beis HaMikdash was Avon Rabba. And they didn't say Yotzer Or. V'chimot Ozman Yotzer Havu Amri Law. And when the time for saying Yotzer Or, they will then say it. And if you're in a situation or a time where you could have said both, you have to say both. Umay brochus ein ma'afazu azu. What then could that expression possibly mean? That which Reish Lakish said, brochus ein ma'afazu azu? Say their brochus. The order is not binding. In other words, like they did in the Beis HaMikdash, they might very well have said that one brocha at that early hour was Avo Rabo. Usually, the first one, the first bracha to be recited is Yotzor. Following it is then Avo Rabo. In their case, they said Avo Rabo first, and later they would say Yotzor, showing us that the order is not binding. But the need to say both brachas is binding. So, being that that's the case, it's not something to say with certainty that Reish Lakish holds that the one bracha that they said in that's referred to in Maseches Tumah is definitely Yotzer. No, it might be that it's Avo Rabo, and that's why the Gemara said that when Reb Zrika said about quoted Reish Lakish as saying that the one bracha was Yotzer, it's not. It was Lav Beferish Itmar. It wasn't something that he heard explicitly from Reish Lakish. It's rather something that he derived from another statement of Reish Lakish that brachos ein ma'akfo zuazu. But we just showed how that itself has a weakness to it. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. We now turn back to Daf Yud Aleph Omel Aleph to learn the Tosfos. The opening Tosfos on the top of the page, Shenemar Bohen Pe'er. The Gemara at this point had been discussing the Ovel as being chayev in all mitzvahs of the Torah, with the exception made regarding the tefillin. Shenemar Bohen Pe'er, the Tosfos says, Pirush Rashi, V'ovel Me'ulol Be'ofar. The Ovel is covered in dirt, in ash. The Ovel Me'ulol Be'ofar Kano, V'ein Noe Loseis Pe'er Tachas Efer. Since his head has ash on it as a sign of mourning, it's not fitting, it's not pleasant, not fitting to have tefillin, which are called pe'er, something glorified, where there is ash. The im tomar lomoli hai taimo. You might ask, why do I need that reason? Tepuk lei, why not learn it out, mida omar li Yecheskel, from the fact that the prophet Yecheskel was told by the Almighty, when he, Yecheskel, was a mourner, pe'ercha chovu sholecha, your pe'er, and we said pe'er is a reference to tefillin. So in the pasuk, it speaks in the possessive. Your tefillin are upon you. Michlal de lekulei alma oser. We can infer from that for everyone else it's forbidden. So being that the pasuk in Yecheskel pe'ercha chovu sholecha would be sufficient for learning that only Yecheskel, who was a mourner, wears tefillin, but other mourners do not, wouldn't that be a sufficient source for the prohibition of an ovel wearing tefillin? The tirei tzasar mikutzi, we call this answer number one. The tzorach taimo shel Rashi, we need the reason given by Rashi of him being covered in ash. Ki hechi delo nelif shar mitzvos mi tefillin mikal v'chomer. So as not to learn an exemption with regard to other mitzvahs through a kal v'chomer type logic. In other words, if I didn't have Rashi's reason, and I just had the pasuk which says to Yecheskel, your tefillin are upon you, and then I would have inferred other people do not wear tefillin, I would have said tefillin, which is such an important mitzvah, and yet the ovel is exempt, so let us exempt him from all other kinds of mitzvahs. Therefore, when you understand that the exemption of tefillin is because of the ash on one's head, you then learn that it's an exemption restricted to tefillin, and from which I won't conclude anything regarding other mitzvahs. I won't conclude exemptions from other mitzvahs with regard to the mourner. Inami, tzorach taima d'rashi, l'chaibo b'tefillin l'achar yoim rishon. Another reason that Rashi's reason is necessary is to obligate the mourner in wearing tefillin after his first day of mourning. The lo shayach mo'lo b'ofer karno elo b'yoyim rishon dafka. This idea of having ash on the mourner having ash on his head, that's something that has relevance only for the first day. That's as soon as the as there is a burial and the and ash is placed on his head, that's something that lasts for one day. And beyond that, though, the mourner who's mourning for a period of 7 days, he is obligated to perform mitzvahs tefillin. The next Tosfos, Toni Rav Yecheskel, Osa Kebeis Shammai Osa, Rav Yosef Omar Osa Kebeis Shammai Lo Osa V'lo Klum. We had learned regarding the those who practice regarding one's positioning himself in the morning and the evening Kriya Shema recitation, we saw different approaches for one who does like Beis Shammai. Rav Yecheskel said, if you go like Beis Shammai, you have fulfilled your requirements. And Rav Yosef says that if you go like Beis Shammai, you have done nothing. You haven't performed the mitzvah. V'im toimar pshita d'ein halacha kamosan, you might say, as far as what Rav Yosef says, that if you go like Beis Shammai, you've done nothing, that would be obvious. As we mentioned in our Gemara section, that when you have a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai is a non-starter, or it's not an opinion that one has to reckon with. It's a well-known, accepted approach to halacha. Therefore, for Rav Yosef to tell me that if you go like Beis Shammai, you haven't done anything, that's obvious. V'yesh lomar. Tosfos explains that it's not so obvious. Hoyu u'Beis Shammai machmirin al ha'odom tfei mi Beis Hillel. Since Beis Shammai's approach is more stringent than the approach of Beis Hillel, they dictate how one is to position himself at the respective hours. Lo shayach lo mapshita. You can't say regarding that, oh, it's obvious we're not going to go like Beis Shammai. Deha de also ke Beis Shammai lo also v'lo klum. That which we understand that one who goes like Beis Shammai, he's done nothing. Hainu hechad de Beis Shammai mikilin u Beis Hillel machmirin. That's where Beis Shammai is of a lenient approach and Beis Hillel is stringent. Aval hacha b'kriya shma. But in the case of Kriya Shema, lo pasli Beis Hillel divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel doesn't reject Beis Shammai's approach, meaning that in the evening, if one happens to be reclining, Beis Hillel says that's a legitimate way to do Kriya Shema. In other words, that which Beis Shammai insists on, Beis Hillel agrees that that's an okay way. Therefore, it's not for us to say pshita, that it's obvious, and therefore it is important for Rav Yosef to tell us that even though Beis Shammai happens to be a stringent opinion, nevertheless, one is not to follow him. And as we saw in the Gemara, that would be manifest primarily in a case, or specifically in a case that someone in the evening, for example, had been standing, and when the Zman of Kriya Shema comes, he deliberately reclines. Avol tema. Still, there is a question. Im kein mai ma maisi misuka v'chulei lo kianto mitzvah suka v'chulei. In the Gemara, we had learned that to back up Rav Yosef, that also kedivrei Shammai lo so klum, the story of Rabbi Yochanan HaChoranis and the members of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel that went to visit him. The Beis Shammai people were saying that he was told, that Rabbi Yochanan was told, since he had his table in the house, if you behaved thusly, you have not been Mekayim Sukkah ever. Upiresh Rashi, Dechihechi de Misha Oso Kebeis Hillel, Lo Oso V'lo Klum LeBeis Shammai, just like we saw in Sukkah that one who follows the ways of Beis Hillel according or through the eyes of Beis Shammai, he has done nothing. Af ha'oisuke Beis Shammai, with regard to our topic of Kriya Shema, so to one who does like Beis Shammai, lo osu v'lo klum l'Beis Hillel. Tosfos now asks, umai ka medame? How can you draw conclusions from one to the other? How can you compare the topics of Sukkah to the topic of Kriya Shema? Hosam, in the case of Sukkah, pasli Beis Shammai legamri ma demachshiri Beis Hillel. They are diametrically opposed opinions. Namely, Beis Shammai discounts completely, declares null and void completely, that which Beis Hillel approves of. Aval hocha, kora kriya shma, ke Beis Shammai alida Beis Hillel yotza. Here, if one were to read the kriya shma like Beis Shammai, in other words, reclining in the evening, according to Beis Hillel, that's okay. In other words, Beis Hillel approves of Beis Shammai with regard to Kriya Shema, so that there's a lack of parallel. In the case of Sukkah, Beis Shammai totally rejects the Beis Hillel approach. In the case of Kriya Shema, Beis Hillel, who was being parallel to Beis Shammai in Sukkah, Beis Hillel approves of the approach of Beis Shammai. So how can you conclude or use the Sukkah example to derive the Kriya Shema approach? Al-Kochach Pirish, or Al-Kain Pirish HaRav Shmaya, the Komedama Hochi, Rav Shmaya explains that the comparison in the Gemara is as follows. Mideko Omar lo kiyamta, from the fact that Beis Shammai said lo kiyamta, you Rabbi Yochanan Churanis have not fulfilled Sukkah, afagav de min hadin yotza, even though by letter of the law he did fulfill Sukkah, sharei barosha v'ruba b'sukkah eino osur, if his head and torso are in the Sukkah, that which Beis Shammai said no good. But it ain't no usur. It's not something forbidden to do. It's not forbidden to sit in the sukkah that way. Elogzeira shemayu moshech achar shulchano. The fear. It's only a matter of fear that you might lean over in order to eat, following the table which is in the house. Well, ki haygavno gabi kriyashma. Similarly, with regard to kriyashma, afagav de min hadin yotza b'dieved. By letter of the law, someone who is reclining, someone who reclines in the evening to say Kriya Shema, one min hadin, by letter of the law, one who reclines in the evening to say Kriya Shema, fulfills his requirement. Kevon de lebeis hillel ein nachon, kedi iso b'masnisin, kedai hoiso lachuv ba'atzmacha. Since, according to Beis Hillel, it's not the right thing to do, it's not the expected thing to do, as the Mishnah says regarding Rabbi Tarfon, that who reclined to say the evening Kriya Shema, im osa kebeis shamai le Beis Hillel, if you were to do that, follow the Beis Shammai way according to Beis Hillel, lo osa velo klum. So what's the point over here? There is a parallel. In the case of Sukkah, you were dealing with a situation of behavior that by letter of the law was okay, and yet they said you haven't fulfilled anything. So too, in the case of Kriya Shema, you're dealing with a type of behavior which by letter of the law is okay, but Beis Hillel doesn't expect that to take place. So too, we will say, lo osa v'lo klum. Achas aruko v'achas ktsar. This was in the Mishnah where we had been taught regarding the Birchas Kriya Shema. The Mishnah now, according to Rashi, after the Mishnah said in the evening you say two brachas before and two brachas afterwards, Rashi's pshat was that one of the two following brachas are long and the other one is short. Pirush, now the Tosfos. Pirush Rashi, Aruka, Emes Vemuna. The long post-evening Kriya Shema Bracha is Emes Vemuna. Ktsara is Hashkivenu. There is a number of questions that Tosfos raises, and we've illustrated that with these triangles. Vetema, the Hashkivenu Nami, Aruka Harbe, the text of Hashkivenu is not a short bracha. It's quite a few words are there. Veteda midolo kochoshiv lo b'toisefta b'hadi aktsaros. In the Tosefta, in the Brises, there is a list of brachos ketsaros, short brachos, and Hashkivenu is not mentioned. So how is it that you're going to explain the Mishnah that says achas ketsaros, a reference to Hashkivenu? The oid talmim shemarichin harbe b'toisefes kmo or yom honeif. There are texts that, especially during holidays, which many of us don't practice, but it was a tradition, and there are some places that it continues to this day, where texts are added to the existing text, so that Or Yom HaNeif is a reference to a passage that's added on certain holidays. Passages are added, and this is an example of a passage that's added to the Hashkivenu, so that the Hashkivenu becomes actually a long text. The Oid, Emes Ve'emuna, Pomim Shemekatsrin Bo'am Oid. The Emes Ve'emuna, which Rashi described as the long one, no, in fact, at times it is quite abbreviated. Kinamrim L'kamon, L'man Domer Ein Oimin Pashas Tzitzis B'layla. According to the opinion, which is something we haven't learned yet in our Masechta, but it will come up later, that one does not say the Parsha of Tzitzis in the evening, so that he says the first two paragraphs of Kriya Shema, since nighttime is not a time for the mitzvah of Tzitzis, so there's no need to say that Parsha. Hu komesayim moidim anachnu loch shotzisonu mimitzrayim v'chulei. And that's in Perek Hoyokorei, in the second Perek of this Masechta, the next Perek. So what happens? In effect, when you finish the first two paragraphs of Kriya Shema, there's a relatively short text that is used so as to make mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim that otherwise is contained in the third paragraph, but I'm not going to be saying it. But whatever the case is, it's an abbreviated text which comes in place of the Emes Ve'emuna text, a very short text. So how can Rashi say that the Achas Aruka is a reference to Emes Ve'emuna? V'nir l'Rabbeinu Tam T'hakol Koi A'emes Ve'emuna. The expression Achas Aruka V'Asketzora is not making any reference to Hashkivenu whatsoever, and the term Achas and Achas is not a reference to two separate brachas, as Tosfos will explain. That once again, T'hakol Koi A'emes Ve'emuna Achas Aruka V'Asketzora Klomar. Bein yarich bo, bein yekatzer bo, kidel lekamon. The Mishnah is saying that there are two brachas before and two brachas after the Kriya Shema of the evening. And then, in focusing on Emes Ve'emuna, the Mishnah is saying whether you make it long or you make it short. Whether you make it, the bracha of Emes Ve'emuna, long or you make it short. The idea of making it short, we just saw Tosfos explain when according to the Manda Omar, that you don't say Parshas Tzitzis in the evening. Now, this expression of Achas Aruka Achas Tzor means Achas Achas. How are we translating that now? We're saying whether it be like this or like that. So Tosfos now says V'chein Ashkachno Hosam. We find a similar language in other places. For example, the Gemara in Yevamah says Achas arusos v'achas nesuos, achas busulos v'achas bulos, which in that case it's not necessary, it's not itemizing different women, but it's saying whether the women are arusos or they are nesuos, whether they be like this or like that. So this is a legitimate or a type of loshon that has precedent elsewhere. The Mishnah also said Mokom sha'omru lekatzer. What is an example of that?
So Tosis explains, Kegoin birchas peros u birchas hamitzvus, ein lo laharich. Birchas hamitzvus, where we say before the performance of mitzvus, we say asher kishon mitzvus avanu. So that is a short text. So in a case like that, like birchas peros, birchas hamitzvus, one is not allowed to elongate it, and likewise the other way around. Continuing on Omid Beis, Yud Aleph Omid Beis at the top, for Rabbonon Amri, Ahavas Oilam. There was a machlokis in the Gemara as to what the nusach of the second bracha of the morning, of the pre-Kriyashma morning recitation shall be. We saw the first opinion was Avo Rabo, and the Rabbonon said that the second bracha before Kriyashma in the morning is Ahavas Oilam. Tosfos says, Hilkoch tokinu lomar b'shachris avo rabo, uba'arvis avo solom. So the practice of Ashkenazic Jewry is, in the morning we say avo rabo, and in the evening, the second pre-Kriyashma brocha is avas oilom. The next Tosfos, shikvar niftar b'avo rabo, here the Gemara had mentioned that if one did not learn in the morning early, but rather the first thing he did was he said, he first davened, he said Kriyashma with its brachas, and then afterwards sets about to learn. He doesn't need to say Birchas HaTorah because the text of Avo Rabo exempts him from that. Shekvar niftar b'Avo Rabo ad hilkoch nimru l'kulu. That means that Tosis is going to deal with this whole topic of Birchas HaTorah, which goes down till the point in the Gemara that says that you should say all of the suggested texts that were suggested in the Gemara. We say them all. B'Yushalmi, Yesh, Ha, in the Yushalmi, it says, Ha, the Amrinon Shikvar Nifta B'Avo Rabo, the idea that Avo Rabo is a means of exempting one from Birchas HaTorah, Pirush Shishon Al Atar, Pirush L'Altar. The Yushalmi used the expression that provided he learns Al Atar, and that means immediately. Shalomad miyad ba'oisimokom. That he, after saying the Avo Rabo and the davening, he sits there and that at that place, on that spot, and learns Torah immediately without interruption. V'nishal l'horav Rabbi Yitzchok kegon onu she'ein onu lomdin miyad la'achar tefilas ha'shachar. Us who do not learn immediately after the davening. People finish davening, they go home and eat, or they go right off to work. They don't sit and learn immediately. Shanu Trudin, we are preoccupied. V'holchin kach below limud ad emtsa hayoim o yoiser. We can go half a day or even more without any learning. Hamai ein onu mevorchin birchas haTorah pam acheres kishonu maschilin lumod. Why is it that we don't recite Birchas HaTorah a second time when we are about to sit down and learn? So as the question then is, even if someone may have recited Birchas HaTorah in the morning, nevertheless he doesn't learn immediately after that. There's a very big gap in time between that and his eventual study session later in the day. So why is it that he doesn't make a second Birchas HaTorah? The Heshiv Ri Deloi Kaimolon Ka'os Yerushalmi. We don't hold like that Yerushalmi that requires the immediate learning of Torah after the Avo Rabo. So that in the question that was asked was, if it's so, like the Yerushalmi, that Avo Rabo is effective in exempting you from learning Torah, from the Birchas HaTorah, that is, because Avo Rabo contains the essence of the Birchas HaTorah, the Yerushalmi, though, qualified it that it will work only if you learned immediately after you said the Avo Rabo. Based on this, then, the question is, what about us who don't learn immediately after Avo Rabo? Why, then, later in the day, when we sit down to learn, don't we make a second Birchas HaTorah? to the re-answered, well, we don't hold like that Yerushalmi that has such a requirement of immediate learning. Our Gemara here in the Bavli doesn't make mention of this need for immediate learning. Therefore, you don't have to have immediate learning. The Oid, afilu lufi haYerushalmi, even according to Yerushalmi that was insistent on immediate learning, davka ava rabo, that insistence would be only in the case of the ava rabo, that you're relying on ava rabo instead of birchas haTorah. Then there is a need for immediate learning. The lo havi ikur bracha lebirchas haTorah, the ikur ava rabo lekriyashma niskan. Ubishvila eino niftar mi birchas haTorah elo im yilmod miyad v'gam lo yase hesech hadas. Since the Ava Rabba wasn't established as a formal text to serve as birchas haTorah, its formal necessity is one to serve as a brocha of kriyashma. Therefore, it may serve tangentially as a birchas haTorah. But in order for it to do that, we have the requirement of immediate learning. Avol birchas asher bochar bonu ubirchas lasuk b'divrei Torah shein ikur lebirchas haTorah. However, the recitation of the formal birchas haTorah, which were established for Torah learning, poteres kol hayom, it has the power of exempting someone all day. V'im toimar, you might ask, my shno misuka shetzorach levorech al kol suuda usuda leishev asuka. What is different about birchas haTorah than the brocha of asher kitshon b'misosanu leishev asuka, where even though you may have made a brocha of leishev asuka for an early meal, if you're going to eat a later meal, you have to make the brocha again. V'yesh lomar d'shaini Torah she'eno miyayish daito. With regard to Torah, your mind doesn't give up on it. Namely, it's in your mind, or at least in the back of your mind, to be learning. The cholsha adam mechuyav lilmod. Technically speaking, a person is obligated during all his waking hours to be studying Torah. Dichti v'gisa b'yirman v'layla. It says, and you shall preoccupy yourself with it, with Torah, day and night. And it would be, it's like sitting all day without interruption. Now, Tosis might be making a reference here to Sukkah, for example. If a person would, let us say, start a meal in the morning on Sukkot and eat all day, he wouldn't have to make any additional bracha because he's occupied with it all day. So too with Torah, since there is an obligation to learn Torah all the time, true, we have permission to engage in other activities, but out of absolute necessity. But in theory, in principle, one is obligated to be involved with Torah all the time. Avo achila. So this last line of the Tosis, when he says v'avi kamo yoshev kol hayom b'lo hefsek, It probably is primarily a reference to a person, it's as if he's sitting and learning all day. Hence, there isn't any hefsik. Aval achila b'sukkah yesh sha'ah kavua. However, with regard to meals and the sukkah, there are fixed times, so that when a person eats his meal, finishes it, that's it. Then it would be a hefsik. And therefore, when the next meal comes around, several hours later, he would have to make a new bracha. V'im toimar mitnei ma ein onu mevorchen lishon vasuka. Why don't we make a bracha of using this text to sleep in the sukkah? V'yesh lomar de bracha de achila shemevorchen leishev potroso. The bracha that we make over the meal, and the text is leishev basuka, that exempts him from the need for making a bracha of sleeping in the sukkah. Inami mishum, another explanation as to why one does not make the bracha of lishon basukkah is
Mishum Shemo Lo Yishan, maybe he won't fall asleep. Vave Brocha Levatola, and saying such a text of Asher Kitshon B'Mesusana Lishon Basukha, and he then doesn't fall asleep, it would be a Brocha for naught. It's not something in his control. It's not something like eating. Eating is something that you have control over. So there, we're not worried about you're making the bracha and then not coming to doing the mitzvah, the action.
If
a person arises from his bed in the middle of the night to learn, she'ein tzorach levarich birchas haTorah. He doesn't have to make Birchas HaTorah, Mnesha Birchas HaTorah Shel Esmol Shachris Poteres Ad Shachris Acheres.
Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion that the Birchas HaTorah that one makes in the morning lasts till the next morning.
Velo Nehira, but Tosfos himself doesn't accept that. Says that doesn't appear to be the case. In other words, according to Tosfos, if someone, as opposed to Rabbeinu Tam, if someone made Birchas HaTorah in the morning, if he went to bed and woke up in the middle of the night, he would have to make another Birchas HaTorah.
Vatzorfatim Nohagu, the French Jewish population practiced Lomar Psukim de Birchas Kehanim. Vegam elu dvorim shein lahem shiur shehi mishnah.
This is a practice that many of us actually do to this day. That after we say the brocha of asher brocha bonu mikol amim brocha toshem noisein haTorah, we then say the three psukim that constitute the birkas kehanim, and also the mishnah peah elu dvorim shein lahem shiur, which is a mishnah, and the elu dvorim she'odam oichel perosein v'chulei. Shehi Memra, that's found in Masechet Shabbos. Why do we do this? Mipnei Hayerushalmi deboy shiilmod al atar, because of the Yerushalmi's expectation of immediate learning following the Birkas HaTorah. It is true that the Yerushalmi that we saw above spoke about this idea of immediate learning in the context of Ava Rabba. The question of how broad does that requirement of immediacy apply in the eyes of Yerushalmi, and with regard to what, that was part of the discussion above in the Tosfos. But at this point, Tosfos is assuming that the Yerushalmi's requirement of immediate learning was something of a broad nature, whether it be Ava Rabba and also Birchas HaTorah, and therefore they practiced saying, performing Torah learning by saying these psukim of Birchas Kehanim and the Mishnah and the Memra from Masechet Shabbos.
Avol ein tzorach kamo shikosafti kfar. However, we don't require this immediate learning, and Tosfos pointed that out earlier, whether it be because our Shas doesn't mention it, or because the whole concept of immediate learning would be limited to the Ava Rabba in the best case.
Hochi Garsino, Baruch Ato Hashem, Hamalame Tur Lamo Yisrael. That is the girsa that we have as far as the closing bracha of the Vaharevna section. Avolo Goras Lamdeni Chukecha. We should not have that as our text. Lamdeni chukecha shein zu brocha elo bakosha shomar David. Lamdeni chukecha is not a text that reflects a praise of the Almighty, but rather a request of David HaMelech to the Almighty. Teach me your laws, your teachings. And we want in our brocha to reflect something of a praiseworthy nature as opposed to a request.
Ubirchas kohanim. This is a quote from the Mishnah in Tomid, which spoke about the kohanim in the middle of their korban Tomid activity. They took a break, so to speak, when the Evorim were on the ramp. They went to the Lishkas HaGozes and did what's said in the source. Amongst the things they said, it says Ubirkas kohanim. However, the Ein Ze Duchan. This is not the formal what we call duchanin, Duchan literally is a platform on which the Kohanim stood when they raised their arms to bless the people. This reference to Birkas Kohanim in Maseches Tomit is not that. Sharei lo hoyu oindin leduchan, they didn't go to the platform to bless the people, ad la'achar haktara seimurim, until after the offering on the altar of the innards. Damrinim betainis, in Maseches Tainis, the Mishnah says, shloisha pomim b'yoyim, hakoinim noisin kapeim, there are four times during the year that the Kohanim do Nesias Kapayim, three times during the day. The Im Kain, if it were so that this is a reference to a formal Birkas Kohanim, Havilei Lemisni, it should have said in the Mishnah in Tainis, Arba Pomim, four times a day on those four occasions that are mentioned in the Mishnah in Tainis. And what are four times? Well, Echad Lefnei Haktoras, the Haktorah, v'yachad li'achar Haktorah. In other words, this would be a reference to an additional Birkas Kohanim, the one we're talking about here, which is before the Haktorah Seimurim, which was early in the whole procedure. Elo, beloy nesias kapayim omru Birkas Kohanim. There was a recitation of the psukim without the raising of the arms, which constitutes the formal Birkas Kohanim. Kemo sha'onu omrim. Just like we say, in the davening when they're Elokeinu v'kev usenu borcheinu b'brocha hamishuleshes, we say the Birkas Kohanim as part of the davening, especially if you're dealing with places that are that don't have a regular daily duchening. That text nevertheless is said without a formal Birkas Kohanim taking place. The Tosfos at the top of Daf Yud Beis is relevant to the Gemara that we learned today regarding the one bracha that they said. Was it Ava Rabba or was it Yotzer Or? And the Gemara had said that if you were to say that the one bracha they said was Ava Rabba, then you wouldn't be able to conclude Ein Brachos Makvazu Azu, because it could be that they were saying the Ava Rabba when early in the morning, when the time for Yotzer Or had not yet arrived. And Tosfos says, Mishum de lomoto zman Yotzer Or, the nehi de shchita satomid mishamura shachar, granted that the morning sacrifice, the morning daily sacrifice starts from daybreak, and you're dealing with a point in time after that, because the Brocha Achas that was referred to in the Mishnah in Tomid was after they slaughtered the Tomid. Nevertheless, Pirush Rashi, Mihu Lo Havasho Lomar Yotzer Or, that dawn is still not early, is not late enough a time to warrant the saying of Yotzer Or, Kamrin Hakore V'chule. This is a reference to another source that says that one who says Kriyashma together with the Anshei Mishmar are not even Yotze Kriyashma because it's still early. The Yochol Lizbor HaBraisa Kivosikin. And the Braisa might hold like the Shita of the Vosikin. Therefore, the time of Amud HaShachar and even a little bit afterwards is still too early for the recitation of the Brocha of Yotzer Or, which is associated with the Kriyashma. So, therefore, it's quite legitimate to say that even though we're dealing with people that had already slaughtered the Tomid Shel Shachar, still, it's not late enough in the morning to warrant the recitation of Yotzer Or. Even though we're dealing with morning hours, and Or is daylight. It's still not enough daylight to warrant that recitation. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.